This is Darren Spoo, pastor at First Baptist Church in Tulsa, and welcome to our weekly podcast. For more information about First Baptist Tulsa, check us out on the web, tulsafbc.org. First Baptist Tulsa has a simple mission: to glorify God in all we do. We want to make God look good because He is good. May God bless you with His goodness this week.
Our scripture reading today comes from Isaiah chapter 26, verses 3 through 4. You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast, because they trust in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord Himself, is the rock eternal. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So we are continuing this teaching series on stress, and since this is our third week, I just want to do a little bit of a reminder on a couple of things. First of all, our working definition of stress is that stress is the wear and tear of daily life, and we all experience, we all feel it, we all know what stress is, even without that definition, just the wear and tear of daily life. And 2 points I want to go back and reiterate that I think are very profound from the last couple of weeks. Number one, stress doesn't happen to you as much as it happens in you. Okay, we have stressors on the outside, but they cannot stress us apart from our permission, all right? So it's the way we explain the world around us to ourselves that stresses us out, all right? So stress doesn't happen to us as much as it happens in us. And here's the most profound thing that I've discovered so far, is that the remedy for stress is relational. Jesus said, "Come to me. Come to me, all you who are wearied and burdened, who experience the wear and tear of daily life, and I will give you rest. I will give you peace." There is no true peace apart from a relationship with God and Jesus Christ. And Thomas Merton, man, he hit it right on the head when he said, "We are not at peace with others because we're not at peace with ourselves. And we're not at peace with ourselves because we're not at peace with God." And if we can get to that place where we are at peace with God, that penetrates into our lives and that permeates into people around us. So here's the question I want to put in front of you today. What causes you to panic? We all have those things in our life that just stresses us out to the level of panic. We all have those things that do it for us. So if you go into your garden, a field cucumber will be 20 degrees cooler than the surrounding air. That's where we get the phrase, cool as a cucumber, right? So we all want to be as cool as a cucumber, but sometimes we lose it. Sometimes we panic. And psychologists have been really good at isolating the factors that produce panic in our life, and there's 4 of them, okay? If something is new or novel, then we tend to panic. So when I was in school, the first day of school always stressed me out the most. I don't know why, but because it was new, I didn't know what was going to happen, that caused me to panic. Second, not only if something is new and novel, but if it's unpredictable. Say you're in a relationship and you don't know where it's going, or you want to close a business deal and you're not sure if it's going to come through. Because of the unpredictable nature of it, it causes panic and stress. If you're threatened, if you feel a threat, it can cause you to panic. And if you sense that you have no control, that can cause you to panic. Now, I want you to think about those 4 characteristics and what I just spelled out. New and novel, unpredictable, threat, and sense of a loss of control. It spells nuts. Some of you are not with me at all today, all right? So that's a good way to remember that. We want to be cool as a cucumber, but sometimes circumstances just make us go nuts. So now the false perception is that all the people way back there in the Bible, they were perfect people who lived in pristine times. Listen, nothing could be further from the truth. Today we're going to go back 750 years before Jesus to a prophet named Isaiah. And Isaiah was the contemporary of the last 4 kings of Israel. Let me set this up. I'm not going to give you more history than what you can handle. But the bully on the block was Assyria. They were the superpower, and they were threatening the political stability of that entire area of the world. Think about Germany in 1939. Okay, that was Assyria. And the next nation on their radar screen was Israel. And Isaiah, as a prophet, he could see what was going to happen. He could see that Israel was about to be destroyed by the Assyrian Empire. And everyone was panicked about that. But whereas everyone else was panicked, Isaiah experienced peace. It was the end of an era, true, but it was not the end of the world. A nation was about to fall, but God's faithfulness was not about to fail. And Isaiah could experience peace not because he was out of touch with reality, but because he saw a larger reality. So here's what happens. First 25 chapters of Isaiah's book, he's going through all these problems and all these things that were causing people to panic because here was Assyria breathing down their neck. And in the 26th chapter, Isaiah breaks into song. And a part of this song, he exposes a secret as to how he could experience peace when everyone else was panicked. So here's Isaiah 26, verse 3. "You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you." Now, this is a little bit difficult to understand, but I think it clears it up when you recognize that this is a prayer spoken by Isaiah to God. So the "you" here is him speaking to God. "You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you." So listen, I memorized this verse in high school. It was part of my memorization plan. But I really didn't understand the beauty of the language here until just about a month ago when I was preparing for this teaching, all right? There's some beautiful words used here. "You will keep in perfect peace." In the Hebrew language, they didn't have exclamation marks. The Hebrews don't use italicized words. To emphasize something, in order to do that, the Hebrews would repeat a word, and by repeating it, would emphasize it, okay? So you know literally what this says here, that first line, "You will keep in peace, peace." Shalom, shalom. That word is repeated there. The peace of peace can be yours. So now I want you to stop and think about this for a minute. Why do most of us panic? Whatever situation causes, why do we panic? It's because that's what we've been taught to do. And we see it portrayed for us, not only in media, but in real life, that when things get out of control, we panic, and that's just kind of expected as to what we should do, and we don't know that there's really any other alternatives. I'm telling you, there is an alternative to living a lifestyle of drama and panic. So 2006, the World Cup semifinals. Germany was playing against Italy, right? Semifinals 2006. The game was scoreless up to the 119th minute when an Italian striker named Alejandro Grosso — if I were to have an Italian name, that would be it, Alejandro Grosso — he scored against the Germans, and a few seconds later, another striker scored, and Germany lost. So the New England Medical Journal did a study on heart events in Germany during that World Cup semifinal. What they found in Munich is that 2 hours before the game, during, and 2 hours after the game, a cardiac event for a German citizen was 3 times more likely during that time. Get this. It takes so little to make us panic. You don't have to. There is an alternative that when everyone else around you is panicking, you don't have to. You can experience peace. Peace. Now how? Well, let's go to the second line. "You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast." Now I'm going to go back to the Hebrew again here, but that Hebrew word for steadfast mind is the Hebrew word yetzer. And that's not really important that you know that, but what that word means is very important. It can mean a frame of mind. It can mean an attitude, but really what that word means is a worldview. Okay? There is peace of mind available for those who have a certain worldview. So let me just ask you some very direct questions here. Do you see the world the way you want to? Do you see the world the way that God wants you to see the world? Do you see the world in a way that honors being a follower of Jesus Christ, or do you panic like everyone else? Okay. We are called as followers of Jesus to have a different and unique worldview. So here's the deal. Anything worth doing well, it's important to practice. Anything that we want to do right, we must practice at it. So what is practice? Practice is doing something repeatedly until you can do it effortlessly. Practice is doing something again and again until it becomes automatic. Okay? So behind the scenes, you see me up here on Sunday morning teaching, okay? But what you might not know is I practice 6 days a week for this moment. 6 mornings a week, I'm up early, this is the first thing that I do, okay? And I practice because this is important to me, I don't want to waste your time, and I am a terrible extemporaneous speaker. Terrible. You would not come back next week, okay, if you saw me how I was in my true form. So I want to do this right, so I want to practice. And here's the deal. I don't particularly like practicing. I don't like it, okay? But I love having practiced because it produces a level of freedom when I'm up here on the platform on Sunday morning. Anything that's worth doing, it's worth your time to practice. So if you want a different worldview, you need to start practicing a different worldview. Do it again and again until it becomes automatic. So let's take the nuts acrostic again. If something is new or novel, you're tempted to panic, okay? Instead, why don't you say something like this? You know what? This is new and novel, but if I do this enough a year from now, this is going to be rote and routine. Why don't I just defer some judgment? I'm just going to experience what I experienced today, and you know, if I do this long enough, it's just going to become routine. You don't have to panic when something new happens. When something is unpredictable, then you might want to go back and embrace Romans 8:28. It says, would God let anything happen that would be to my long-term detriment? No, he works all things together for good. I'm going to trust him that he has the outcome in his hands. If you feel threatened, you know what? God has promised us his protection and his provision. And when you sense a loss of control, why don't you instead sense God's presence there in the moment, right there in the middle of it with you? Now, I know some of this sounds a little bit strange, but it won't sound strange if you start to practice it. And if you practice peace in those little events of daily life, guess what? You will be prepared when those big events come along, and you won't panic. And here's the biggest change of worldview that I can offer you. You will keep in perfect peace, peace, peace. Those who have a different worldview, those who have steadfast minds, because they trust in you, God. So I do this every once in a while, okay? I'm going to ask you to be real still for just a second. Nobody cough, nobody wiggle. Don't let your cell phone ring right now. I'm going to ask that you be perfectly still. If there are three words that God would say to each and every one of us this morning, it would be these three words. I've got you. I've got you. And the thing is, God isn't just saying those words this morning. I believe he says those words 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year for our entire life. Just usually we are so consumed by our panic that we don't hear it. Would you be reminded that ultimately, as a follower of Jesus, God is saying to you, I've got you, and I've got this. Trust me. Put your life, put your future, put your now into my hands. So this is a whole new worldview that God has provided those who are followers of Jesus and who want to follow him. Now let's make this very practical, because I don't want to keep this hypothetical and then miss the practicality of things. One of the things that causes me the most panic, personally, and I'm not alone in this room, but what causes me a lot of panic is having too much to do, okay? Having an overwhelming schedule, things at work, things with family, unexpected crises. When I feel like I've got too much on my plate, I literally feel like there are hands around my neck, okay? And it becomes strangling, and I start to panic. And even had an experience with this on Friday. My wife and I had breakfast together, and I just kind of poured out to her, I've got all this stuff going on, and I caught myself as, man, I'm talking about this on Sunday, all right? The panic of having so much to do and so many demands on time. Now, this is a sidebar application. You might look at me and go, well, Darren, you look calm all the time. I would never guess that you're a person who feels panic, okay? Looks are deceptive. The people who look like they have their life together, many times those are the very lives that are falling apart. Those people who look the most calm on the surface, many times are the people who are most stressed. French story of a man who goes to his doctor. He said, doctor, I can't go on. My life is, it's too much. I'm depressed. I don't laugh anymore. And I'm going to end it all. And the doctor says, you mustn't talk this way. What you need is a night out. Go tonight. There's a famous clown named Devereaux. He is the funniest clown that is known to our society. Go and laugh and forget about your problems. And he said, doctor, the only problem with that is I am Devereaux, the clown. It's the people who wear the biggest smiles that often have the darkest secrets. Listen, if that's you, you don't have to live in panic, and you don't have to pretend anymore. There is peace available to you. So for years and years, I've known this verse by memory. It's a great verse to know, but I have ignored the verse that follows it. You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. And the next verse goes on to say, and this is talking to us, trust in the Lord forever. For the Lord himself is the rock eternal. This is Isaiah now speaking to us. Now, I'm going to get technical with you here for just a moment. The word used here in Isaiah 26:4. Remember I said that repetition brings emphasis? Look how many times the word Lord is used here. 3 times. The specific word used here goes back to Exodus chapter 3. Moses is about to go to Egypt, deliver the Israelites out of slavery. God, if I go back and try to free the Israelites, who shall I say sent me? And God said, tell them my name is Yehiyeh Asher Ehiyeh. I am who I am. We say Yahweh. Every time the word Yahweh is used in the Old Testament, in an English translation, we put it in that font right there where you see the all caps. That's a visual cue to you that the word used there for God is the covenant name. This is a God who remembers his promises. This is the God who keeps his covenant with his people. And Isaiah says, the only place where peace is found is in him. Now, Isaiah actually saw the Lord. If you know part of his story back in Isaiah chapter 6, he says, in the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted. He saw the Lord, okay? And so that was a part of his story. He could say, I saw the Lord. For many of you sitting here, for those of you who are followers of Jesus, I could say, tell me about your relationship with God, and you would go back to that day that you walked down an aisle, or that you were baptized, or that you prayed a prayer with somebody, and you started your relationship with the Lord. Good for you. But I hope that that's not the only time that you have experienced the presence of God. I hope you can say, I saw the Lord. But I also hope that you're able to say right now, I see the Lord. If your relationship with God is only past tense, you're in a world of hurt. Because in a world of stress, we need to know he is present with us right here, right now. I've got you. So whenever I visit a hospital room, by the way, I need to do a little explanation here. For the first 15 years of me being pastor here, my hospital day was Wednesday, okay? I would see everybody in the hospitals on Wednesday, and I told people that if I ever walk into your room and it's not a Wednesday, the prognosis is not good, all right? I said, Darren, it's Monday. What are you doing here? Well, Wednesday's a long way off for you. Yeah, so so I've changed that now, okay? Come back to me now. Come on, come back. So I've changed that now where I try to go to one hospital every day. I've kind of changed my strategy. So now I walk into a hospital room and people say, Darren, it's Monday. What are you doing here? I say, you're okay. Probably. You're all right. Let me read your chart here. Ooh, yeah. I feel like I need to dig myself out of this hole now. I don't know why I feel that. Okay. But every time, and those of you who have come to your hospital room, you know this, every time before I leave, first of all, I'll ask what you want me to pray for, because I'm not going to assume I know. What do you want me to pray for? And then one thing I always pray for is, God, we'll say I'm visiting Betty. Would Betty sense your presence right here, right now, in this hospital room? Your presence is as real as the medical people walking in and out. Your presence is as real as this monitor here that's beeping. Would she know that you are here with her? I see the Lord. So relationship with God is about, I saw the Lord, I see the Lord, that past and present tense, but then I want to put some hope in front of you today that I will see the Lord. You will see the Lord. For those people who tell you it is shallow to have a hope in heaven, don't listen to those people. I mean, if you're engaged, do you not look forward to your wedding day? If you're in school, do you not look forward to graduation? If you're pregnant, do you not look forward to delivery? There's that moment. If we're followers of Jesus, and let me put this in front of you. Think about this for just a minute. If you're a follower of Jesus, you will see him one day. You will really see him. And that puts the chaos and the stress of now into its proper perspective. And I love what Julian of Norwich says. She says, and all shall be well. And all shall be well. And all manner of things shall be well. Whatever you've gone through in this life, death, loss, depression, addiction, there will come a day where God will set it all right. Okay. So do you see how a relationship with God, it is where we find peace, not only in the past, I saw the Lord, but today I see the Lord and I will see the Lord. My invitation to you today is simply this. Go where true peace is found. And it's only found in one place. And it's really only found in one person. And that's in Jesus Christ. So most of you don't know the name Alfred Eisenstadt, but you've seen his work. Alfred Eisenstadt worked for Life magazine for all his career, and he was there in Times Square, New York, August 14th, 1945, VJ Day. I'm sorry, August 24th, 1945, victory over Japan, and it was Alfred Eisenstadt who took that iconic picture of the sailor kissing the nurse, right? There in Times Square. So he told the story about how he captured that picture. He sees this sailor walking down the street, kissing every girl in sight. Young, oh, yes, it's a sailor, so that's what they do, kissing every girl in sight. So he's kissing all these girls, and he looks ahead and he sees this nurse dressed in white, and he saw where the sailor was going and going, he's destined for her. So he focused his camera on the nurse as this guy's coming down the street. So as I'm reading this, you know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking about Wayne Gretzky, the great one in hockey. What did he say? You don't skate to where the puck is, you skate to where the puck is going to be. And so he focused his camera on where the kiss was going to be, and he caught it. That perfect moment in time. Listen, we panic when we focus on whatever's happening right here in front of us. Focus on where the peace is found. Focus on where it is. And it is only found in Jesus Christ. You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are fixed on you because we trust in you. I've got you.